Philippians chapter 3, our portion this afternoon, is verses 15 through 17. Let's pray. How we thank you, O God, for telling us by your Spirit in your Word of that for which Christ has laid hold of us, even that we might fully glorify you and fully enjoy you forever. And we thank you for your word, which you hold up as a mirror, and how it always tells us the truth in this life that we have not yet attained. But not just the truth about us, but the truth about Christ, what he is like, the perfection of his worthiness for us, the perfection of his character to which you are conforming us, that we are already your children in him, that when he appears, we will be like him and see him. And we pray that as you show us these things from your word for the rest of our lives, that we would always keep pressing forward, reaching forward toward the goal, the upward call that you have given us in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would help us now in the reading and hearing of your word, that he would be using it to furnish us with every good work, that he would make us mature, complete in Christ, and that the maturity that he gives us would be reflected in minds that are like what we read in these scriptures that we've been studying Lord's Day afternoons. So help us, Holy Spirit, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15 and going through verse 17, these are God's words. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Thus far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So in this chapter, the apostle has warned us against some really bad examples. In the previous chapter, he had held up Christ as the ultimate example. And he'd presented some copies that Christ has been making of himself by the Spirit, including a copy in the apostle Paul, and a copy in Timothy, and a copy in Epaphroditus. And then he talks about these bad examples, the ones who rejoice or have confidence in the flesh rather than having confidence in Christ. And he's presented himself again as a counter to that, that he who had made it as far as you could get in the flesh, and until he realized that everything he thought was to his credit was actually against him, and that all of those things were loss, and in order to have Christ, that he still does not believe that he has attained what Christ has laid hold of him for. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that Christ has laid hold of him in order to protect him. And so he presses on to lay hold of that in order to perfect him. So he presses on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of him. And so he's always pressing forward and pressing upward, recognizing that for the rest of this life, he will he will still be pressing forward and pressing up. Sanctification is something that is not completed in this life. And then he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. In other words, there is no one who is mature who does not have this mind. The surest sign of someone who is not mature in Christ Jesus is someone who feels like they have made it. Because we haven't made it yet. That's what he's saying here. He says, I haven't made it. And let as many as are mature in Christ have this same mind, that they have not made it either. Problem is, we are so easily self-deceived that we can have spiritual pride about our humility. Right? We think to ourselves that I know that I'm terrible and that only Jesus is good. And I'm sure you have, if not have felt and recognized it in yourself at some point, have seen it in others, that this kind of self-deprecation, this facade, this surface of humility is actually part of how they think they've made it. And so you get into these Christian conversations, and sometimes whole churches, depending on how the preaching is and whether it's full of Christ himself or whether it's full of how we act and interact most of all, and you turn humility into the new work, and talking about how you don't do anything good into the one real good thing that we do. And so it's easy to be self-deceived about humility before God. And so it's actually a pretty precious promise in verse 15. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, he's still talking to the as many as are mature, or as many as think they are mature, I guess. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So knowing that even in my humility to think and know that I haven't attained yet, that is imperfect. And so you're actually trusting in the Lord to keep exposing your own heart to you, to keep exposing your own mind to you, so that you come to realize a way in which you thought you were being humble, but you're really proud of being humble, and he exposes that to you. And you cry out again, and you turn from it, and you lay hold of Christ, and you know that you're laying hold of Christ because why? Because Christ has laid hold of you. And he's not surprised or duped or discouraged by that self-deception that we just found out about ourselves, is he? And so he says, if you're mature, maintain that mind of pressing forward and pressing upward. And if you need to have revealed to you that you are not as mature as you thought, then God will reveal even this to you. He's not going to let even that part of your sanctification lag. So every believer, every mature believer rather, thinks that he has not attained. Every mature believer wants to live, then, in verse 16, according to whatever the Lord has done in him. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Have you ever heard someone who has, they've understood this truth that he who began the good work in you will be perfecting it even until the day of Christ Jesus. And so they've understood this truth that we never arrive in this life. And then they turn around and they say, they act as if, well, therefore it doesn't really matter what Christians do. We're not going to be perfect in this life. I hear the phrase, and it sticks in my mind because of a manager that I had working for McDonald's as an undergraduate who was very vocal about how Christian he was. But he also had a foul mouth, and he hit on all the young girls that worked at the McDonald's, and confronted him once, and he said, "Well, James, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven." Well, we take the truth that we have not attained yet to perfection, but you don't use it as an excuse to walk according to your flesh. Because Christ has started a work in you. And he has helped you to mortify sin to some extent thus far. And he has worked out the life of Christ in you to some extent thus far. And whatever he has done in you, you should rejoice in and walk in. Not using the fact that we're not going to be perfect in this life as some excuse for sinfulness. And so he knows how this truth from verse 15 is going to be abused. And he says, "Nevertheless, to the extent that we have already attained, you know, God hasn't done nothing in you, let us walk by the same rule." And the same thing with theology. Ever had theological discussions with people? They say, "Well, none of us are going to have perfect theology in this life." And they use that as code language for, we can all just, you know, agree to disagree and everything's minor except for I love Jesus, but then there's the question of, well, what does it mean to love, and who are you, and who is Jesus? Because that's old theology, right? So he says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, morality matters. To the degree that we have already attained, theology matters. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example." Okay, so there are those who are mature, and he is calling the whole church now to follow his example. He says, I am mature in Christ, which means I haven't attained, but it does mean that I am walking by the rule of Christ so far as I know, and I'm thinking according to the word of Christ so far as I know, so far as the Lord has brought me. And all of you are to do as you see me doing in my walk with Christ, and note those who so walk. So there are the apostle and then the other mature ones in verse 15, and then he refers to them all in verse 17 as brethren, and he says, God has set examples in front of you. It's kind of like what he does in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. Remember, he's going to go into Hebrews 12 and he's going to say, work hard. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. He is producing in you holiness. You know, straighten your knees and strengthen your hands, and press forward. And don't despise the discipline that produces in you the peaceful fruit of righteousness and the holiness without which we won't see the Lord. But he does that just after having given examples for all of chapter 11. Of how God has maintained saints by faith, and he has gotten them there. And they are in glory now. And they didn't receive in this life what God had planned for them, because it's God's wisdom that apart from us who are still on the way, that they wouldn't be perfected. And so they haven't come into the resurrection yet. And so God gives us examples, both dead from the past and living now, of those in whom the work of grace has begun and has progressed and even has come into a maturity in which they haven't yet attained, but they're walking according to the word and they are thinking according to the word to the extent that God has granted them. And he gives us patterns for that. And we shouldn't be ashamed to say, there's a mature believer that I would like to walk in the same way. Because the same grace that gave that believer faith and the same grace that has matured that believer in faith is the grace by which you have been brought to faith and the grace that is maturing you. And it's a grace that is in Jesus Christ. And so as you press forward and as you press upward, it is God who is calling you even unto the perfection of Jesus. And he will not stop that work until he has completed it. So it's good and right to have Christian heroes so far as you understand that, well, so far as the ones who are your heroes are those who know that they have not attained, right? and are mature. And so far as you understand, that's part of maturing, is always pressing forward and always pressing upward, as the apostle and as many as are mature also do. Let's pray that God would do that in for us. Oh, our Father in heaven, we pray that as you have called us unto yourself in your Son and unto the perfection of your Son, that those whom you knew ahead of time in love, you predestined not merely that we would be forgiven, but that we would be conformed to the image of your Son, so that at the last he would be the firstborn among many brethren. We thank you for the certainty of the end that this upward call that you have given us has given us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue maturing us. Lord, we thank you for those whom you have set among us, who are always straining forward and upward with joy and confidence, that at the last you will bring them there. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to note those who walk in that way and to imitate them. And we pray, Lord, that as your Spirit matures us, we would be those who walk that way. And that others might note that your grace works, that your grace not only works to bring us to faith for forgiveness, but that your grace works to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, makes us to bear the fruit of your Spirit, makes us to look like Christ. We pray that you would glorify him by continuing this work in each one of us. In his name, amen.